So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, staff writer for Last Week with John Oliver, and good buddy Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Buenas tardes, señor Bowie. ¿Cómo está?
Buenas tardes, Dan! Wait,
I'm deciding now whether I might want to walk that back. That might be offensive. Did you know you called it Last Week with John Oliver?
I did?
Yeah. Roll the tape!
Let's take the whole thing again.
No, leave it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you did. I could be wrong.
Here's what I think I'm finding is that the more Spanish I learn, the worse I'm getting at English. I think there's a finite amount of words that can take up space in my brain, it sounds like. So I think by learning how to say, good afternoon, Mr. Yeah. Bowie, how are you? I've completely forgotten where I work.
I did find that when I would like travel abroad, mm-hmm. When I'd use my Spanish, I could start thinking a little bit in Spanish. But then when I tried to think in English again, or like tried to talk to people in English, I was like, no, this isn't really coming together the way I hoped it would. This sentence that I'm working on. There's really only really room in your brain for like one at a time, it does seem. So Dan, you're taking Spanish lessons?
I am. I'm doing this app called Pimsleur, 30 minutes a day, every day. I've been doing it for 10 days right now. And okay. It's 30 minutes of listening. It's a strange way to learn a language because it's not, I'm very thankful that I studied Italian because A, the languages are very similar, but I'm B, grateful that I studied it because there are a lot of basic things when you're learning Italian or any other language in like middle school at 14 years old or whatever, where you're going to go through like, here are all the pronouns. Here's I, here's he, here's she, here's they, here's them. Here are a bunch of verbs that just means right. like to work, to drink, to eat. Here are the rules for conjugation. I does this to the verb. You does this to the verb, blah, 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 blah. You learn all these rules and we're not starting with rules at all with this app. They're teaching you like very basic, helpful, conversational language stuff without any information about the rules. So like I know why certain verbs are changing because I remember how that process goes from basic Italian, but I feel like I don't know if a person could just jump in and like, I want to learn Spanish knowing nothing but English. I want to just like sit here and see if I could pick this up from this app.
Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile with skincare and hair care made just for you. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at hawthorne.co and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
Thanks to Postmates for supporting Quick Question. Postmates isn't all just burgers and sushi. I can order anything from toilet paper to phone chargers from stores like Walgreens and 7-Eleven, and a Postmate will drop it off right outside my front door. Download the Postmates app and use code QQ. Yeah, I see. Okay. And so you're going in cold. Like, you've never had a Spanish class in your life?
No, never. And there's some stuff I've picked up just from A, pop culture, B, living in America, and C, working in restaurants. There's a lot of Spanish speakers
yes.
in every kitchen I've ever worked in, and it's helpful to learn a few phrases to communicate with them back and forth, and it's really fun. I like having a class to learn something new. It's a really interesting way to learn things because it's just a narrator being like, here, today we're going to talk about like you're meeting someone new and you're telling them that you don't speak the language very well, or yeah. you're asking them if they speak English, or you're saying, I understand a little. And so you're drilling phrases in that family a lot. And in taking these classes, I've stumbled onto one of my favorite pieces of, I think, unintentional comedy.
Okay.
Because in every episode, every chapter, every class, whatever, there's a man, a woman, and the omniscient voice of the cold narrator. And because it's educational, there's a lot of repetition and things are never too complicated. It's a lot of like very basic variations on greetings, variations on where is blank, how much does X cost? And in this particular lesson, it was variations on where and what do you want to eat? And in these particular exchanges, the man is hungry. That's his entire game. And the woman character is doing the heavy lifting in terms of like the variations in this realm. Her answers are like, I'm not hungry, or I'm hungry, but I don't want to eat here, or I don't know what I want. And then sometimes back to I'm not hungry. And it unfolds like this very tense, passive aggressive relationship drama with this indecisive woman with non-specific desires and a man whose only modes are reactionary to her and repeatedly saying, I want to eat something. And you get this, the way it goes is like the narrator talks and tells you what to say in English, and then you hear the man or the woman say it in Spanish. And it's just this guy's like, you get to the restaurant and your friend has changed her mind. How would she say, I don't want to eat here? Now, how would you say, what do you want to eat? She says, I want to eat something, but only a little and not here. Now you say, I want to eat something. And I'm sure they're just repeating things so like to drill it so I learn it, but to watch it play out as a scene, by the time they go to like the third restaurant and she's changed her mind again, and yeah. All he has said this entire time is either, what do you want? Or I want to eat something. I really just want to break in and be like, I think you two should go home. I think like pick up separate fast food on the way. This guy's going to snap.
That is how conversations generally go, though, is there's a lot of repetition within the conversation of like, especially when you're fighting, where you're like, I don't think my point was heard there. I know what I want. Yeah. I want food. What do you want?
She says, I don't know. I don't want this. And I'm like, man.
What do you mean by this? Or do you mean a burrito? I don't know. Yeah. Well, pues, Daniel, ¿sabes que yo español, yo hablo español?
Oh, say that. ¿Cómo?
¿Sabes que hablo español?
You know how to speak Spanish.
Do you know that I speak Spanish?
Oh, do I know that you speak Spanish? I know that I've observed you speak Spanish to children.
Yes.
And I'm going to give some more context.
No, that should do it.
I think we used to volunteer together. Is that where there were a lot of Spanish kids that you would talk to? Or was it just different coworkers bringing their kids to the office? Where did I watch you talk Spanish to children?
I think it probably would have been at our fight club.
Okay.
Sorry, our volunteer. our volunteer thing that we would do. I'm pretty sure that's where it would have been. I'm trying to think of the kids though, maybe like AZ or somebody.
Yeah. You were it was one of those things that I should have engaged with you more at the time and talked about, hey, that's impressive that you could just bust out Spanish and talk to people. But also at the time was just like, oh, this is just another fucking thing Soren can do. All right.
So
can he juggle in Spanish too?
My Spanish is, it's like brash. It's like, my wife has been to Central America several times. She, spent a lot of time there in college and her Spanish is way better than mine, but she's much more timid about using it. And for me, at some point I just gave up on all of their conjugations other than the present tense. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I'll use progressive because it's really easy to use, but like that's like I am walking or I am talking, that's progressive. But like present tense, anything I'm going to say, I'm just going to use present tense because as I'm talking, like they get what I'm saying. And then I don't have to sit there for a second and be like, all right, let's see, past participle. Let me think for a second. Okay, I got it. And I have to like conjugate it in my mind for like, okay, yo, tú, ustedes. Like I don't have to, I can just be like, you know what? I'm so sorry about this, but you're just going to get the present tense.
Yeah.
And it works every single time.
Two things.
They understand what I'm saying, but I'm not like nobody's going to be like, oh, are you from Argentina or anything like that?
Two things that I'm definitely not grasping intuitively immediately is I know that there are different masculine and feminine versions of things where like buenos noches, buenas tardes, or I might not even have that right, but I just know that like some take buenas if it's a feminine word and some take buenos if it's a masculine word. And I'm not there's not an intuitive way to immediately sense those differences coming. And I'm hoping that buenos and buenas aren't different enough that I'm going to say something accidentally offensive. I think I'll just look stupid, which is fine. Yeah. I'm okay being stupid in as many languages as will have me. And the other thing I'm not grasping, almost on purpose, out of spite, is this early on, they're still making it clear that there are distinctions for when you're talking to someone very casually versus when you're talking to someone who is either older or a stranger. So you would use like a more formal usted versus tú, and like tienes or tiene. And those are things where I'm like, well, if I'm talking to someone respectable who I don't know, they're just going to have to deal with me.
Wait, they haven't given you any qualifiers for that? For like when to use each? Some of those you don't ever have to learn. Like vosotros. Yeah. They're teaching you the vosotros command, I bet. I mean, not conjugation.
Yet. No, okay. Not yet. They're just like
you mean like ustedes or tú?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the kind of thing where I'm just not, I'm not going to hammer that into my brain immediately. And I think that's, I'm assuming
that's fine.
That, yeah, if I'm dropped somewhere where everyone speaks Spanish except me, I think they will be fine enough that I've learned some of the language. I don't think anyone's going to not answer me because it's like, oh, you used tú instead of usted. And I'm like, yeah, but the rest of that sentence was, can you get me to the hospital, please?
Yeah, that's, I'm as fickle with using ustedes or tú as I am with like whether or not I'm going to take a receipt from CVS when they ask. Like I will not, I just, there's nothing that determines whether or not I will do it. Just like how the weather is strikes me that particular day, except with children. With children, I usually use ustedes because I think it's fun.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, they think it's fun, but I have no basis for that. Hey, this is going to maybe sound cliche, but what's getting in the way of you living your best life? And when I say best life, what does that mean to you? Does that mean that you're happy? Not all the time, right? I mean, sometimes it's okay to not be happy. What's in the way of you finding your own personal, your own emotional, your own spiritual success? Well, BetterHelp can assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient. And it's all without ever having to get up and go to some uncomfortable waiting room, stick around, waiting with other people to see a therapist. You do it right from your home. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. Look, it's not always going to be a perfect fit with your counselor. That's just the way it is. Not every therapist aligns with everybody's needs, so you might want to switch it up, and that's fine at BetterHelp. BetterHelp is more affordable, too, than a traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp offers a broad range of expertise, which may not be locally available in your areas anyway, so you might be able to get something that you wouldn't ordinarily in your community. The best part about BetterHelp, though, is that everything you share is completely confidential. BetterHelp is not a crisis line, though. It's professional counseling. You get timely, thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor anytime you need to. You can find licensed professionals in all kinds of different quadrants of life, from depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping issues, anger, grief, self-esteem, gender identity, trauma. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. Hawthorne uses data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect products for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. Folks, I realized recently that my entire bathroom world is Hawthorne. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, face wash, soap, cologne, all of it is from Hawthorne. And I'm not going back. You can't make me. I also have a bunch of Hawthorne colognes. This is a Hawthorne household. I even got my brother to switch over to Hawthorne for their shampoo, and he loves it. You can take a short, study-backed quiz and get matched with your perfect grooming kit today. I took their quiz, And they asked me some questions, and I answered them honestly, because I answer all questions honestly. They asked me what was more important to me in a deodorant, and I told them, I sweat too much, and it's a problem, and I need them to fix it. And they did with Hawthorne deodorant. The quiz was easy and quick, and it was fun. It's not every day that you really look inward and investigate what you want in a shampoo or a deodorant or a body wash. And I learned a little bit about myself in this quiz. Hawthorne's grooming products are my answer to look good, feel good, and smell good. So make sure you're ready for anything or anyone that comes your way by taking Hawthorne's quiz today. Go to hawthorne.co, hawthorne.co, and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co, promo code QQ. Hawthorne.co, promo code QQ. Another very strange thing about this style of learning is, like, obviously you're dropped right into conversation, so we don't have a lesson where here's the alphabet and here are the numbers. Numbers only come up in the context of the lesson. So, like, I know what 12 is because in lesson 3 it was determined that a soda costs 12 pesos. I don't know what 11 or 13 is, but it's like, here's how you would say the soda costs 12 pesos. I'm like, okay, doce. Got it. All right. I hope everything I come across is also 12.
That's very funny. I never really thought about it that way. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's so much that they're just, like, not giving you.
Yeah.
In the foundation of the Spanish, just to get you to a conversational point.
And it seems like something that, like, if Spanish is at all similar to Italian, the numbers will be eventually a very easy thing.
Yeah. I guess, like, glossary terms and stuff, those fall in pretty quick, but I don't know. That's the part that stuck with me the most. Like, I know the word for all the things, the nouns, mm-hmm. and I know most of the verbs. Adjectives are tough, but, like, that stuff will come back to me right away. And that was because that was what was drilled into me in school. It was like the conjugations and stuff were like, okay, now we'll get into that in level 3 or whatever. But early on, you're just learning a bunch of nouns. because that's how you're going to get by. You're going to be like, you don't have to be like, yo quisiera los chiquiles or like whatever you want. Like you just be like, chiquiles? And they'll be like, yeah, we'll get it for you.
One other problem, and then we can get into the show, but another problem that I'm noticing I'm having with this app, and I love it, by the way. I really enjoy doing it. I heartily endorse PimSlur as an app for whatever language you want to learn. This is a problem I've noticed with myself dating back to my incoming brag college a cappella days.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I would... So we'd all learn a song together, all the various parts, and then you would audition in front of the group to be the soloist for that song. And one of the things that one of the guys in the group pointed out to me was that I was mimicking, like, the tonal quality of the singer of the original song. Like, yeah. It's like a bashfulness of my own janky ass voice. I've only, like, now at 36 gotten comfortable singing like the weird freak that I am, and not trying to sound exactly like Rick Springfield singing Jesse's Girl or Dave Matthews when I'm auditioning for one of those songs. And even in, like, every musical that I did in high school and local theater was, like, trying to sound like the guy in the recording and match that as much as I could and not be like, this is what I sound like singing. This is what I sound like doing an impression of Nathan Lane singing. And that is, I'm finding, also true with this app, because I'm repeating after these two people, and I'm not even going to do it on this podcast now, because I'm already fearing, like, if I ever do it in the wild in real life, it's going to sound like I'm doing a character, like some Spanish character guy with a deeper voice, or some, like, indecisive woman. Like, it's not you when you talk, you sound like Soren speaking Spanish, and I'm very much like, ¿Dónde está el baño? Because that's how she says it.
Right, you're following the woman's cadence. I think that's pretty common. Okay. I remember a kid in my class in high school who, as he would say stuff, he'd be like, Quiero un sabor de un manzana. Like the way that he'd say it, he'd like squint while he did it and kind of like lean back. And the teacher eventually was like, do you know that you're squinting as you ask for that taste of an apple? And he's like, what? And she's like, are you picturing somebody in your mind when you speak Spanish? He's like, yes. And he had somebody who like was a neighbor, and he would like do what his neighbor did when he spoke, which was like the squint and kind of like a lean back.
Yeah.
And he was just replicating that. And he was like incapable of speaking Spanish without doing this squint. It was just very funny.
Miming a cigarette in his hand.
It was very, very funny. But I think that's pretty common where you're just like, well, whoever the person is that's speaking to you, that's the one you're going to pick up.
Yeah.
The same way where I think there's a lot of Indian people who learn English, but they sort of have a British accent because so many of them come by English through England.
Right.
And they're just like, well, this is how we say it. We. well, let's see. Dan, you had... I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the podcast. You had like a brief relationship with a woman who was Spanish, didn't you? Or was she Brazilian?
Yeah, Brazilian.
Oh, so she spoke Portuguese.
Yes. And I wasn't going to learn Portuguese.
It's an ugly language. I would.
It was two tiers of communication where first I thought like,
sad.
I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn Portuguese when she comes back to America in a few months. I'm going to have learned Portuguese. And then I worked on it for a little bit. It was like, I'm going to learn. You are very beautiful in Portuguese. And that's it.
That was my strategy when I traveled abroad, where I would go to a new country. First of all, I'd be on a train because there was like a channel that went everywhere. And that was what I had a pass on. And anytime I'd be going to a new country, I'd be like, okay, wait, fuck. I don't speak Italian. And I'd like look for people on the train who also look like travelers. And I'd be like, do you speak Italian? And sometimes they'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, well, is it okay if we travel together for a little bit? And then other times, if I couldn't find somebody, I would just flip through this book and I would just be like, I need the best five phrases.
Right.
That's all. And I'm going to get by on these five. And I will learn them so well that I'll be able to pronounce them exactly right. And that's all I will use the entire time I'm here.
When I went through Europe, and all of it is out of my head now, but I learned in the language of every place that we were visiting. Hello, I'm sorry, I don't speak this language very well. Yes. Do you speak English? Because that's a better way to start things off than just immediately assuming they speak English.
Yeah.
Even though they speak English almost everywhere, it's still more polite and puts you on better footing with a stranger to apologize and say you don't speak the language very well and ask if they can help you out. The only downside of that is saying it in France once. So, bonjour, je suis désolé, je ne parle pas très bien français. Parlez-vous anglais? And they said, no. I was like, oh, fuck me.
yeah.
I kind of oversold it when I said that I don't speak French very well.
That's all I speak is what you just heard. By the way, that was wonderful, Dan. That was like,
oh, thank you.
If I would have heard that, I'd be like, that guy's fluent. That guy's fluent. That's what. And so, like, when I went to France, all I would do is I'd say, bonjour, est-ce que je pourrais avoir? And then I would point to whatever I wanted. And that just meant like, I would like, and then whatever it was that I wanted to get. Yeah. And that was working really well until one day I was like walking up to somebody and I wanted to find a bathroom. And I was like, bonjour, est-ce que je pourrais avoir? Oh, fuck, I can't point to it because I don't know where it is. And then I was like, my first crude thought was mimic peeing. And I was like, don't don't do that. Don't do that. Don't as if you're flying. Don't like mimic eat. Like, and I was like, oh, fuck. Bathroom. And then you feel like such a loser.
Yeah.
And you just watch their faces fall.
Yeah. Especially if you've like ramped into the language and you're feeling good. It was like, bonjour, s'il vous plaît, un toilet, please.
Toilet. Do you have a bathroom where I can poop? but yeah, that was one of my... still continues to be one of my biggest fears is that I ever feel like a fish out of water, which is why I've worked so hard throughout my life to be so cool in every situation. So if I am in a foreign country and a tourist, I hate that feeling. There are so many people who give into it and I'm jealous of them the way that they're just like, No, it's okay. I'm allowed to be here. It's fine. Yeah. I'm allowed to be a tourist here, and I'm allowed to not understand the system. And I won't ever give myself over to that. I always feel terrible.
Yeah, I was fully memorizing basic phrases and like also going through like what are hand gestures to avoid in Amsterdam that might be offensive, that are like very normal in America that might be offensive. Like in Amsterdam, I learned you can't just walk up to someone and kiss them on the mouth. They consider that rude there.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I mean, I would say not in COVID, obviously, but yeah, before COVID, that's weird. Do you have a favorite Spanish word that you've discovered since you've been doing this? Like one that you're just like, oh, that's a fun one to say. I'll give you some examples so you can think.
The thing that I love the most is it's not even a word that I learned from this is adios, just because every time it comes up in a lesson, it's funny to me because it's always like, I'm always struggling through like, okay, let's meet at the restaurant, at the hotel restaurant. Let's meet at the Hotel Fernandez. Okay. How much do you have? I have this much. I'm going to pay. And then as soon as the narrator's like, now say goodbye. I'm like, adios. Like it's my favorite. it means I can meep and scram on out of there.
Yeah. Adios. I really, really enjoy saying clanchas. I think that one's very fun.
What does that mean?
Just means sandals.
Oh.
Clanchas. And then I also really like saying cacahuates, which is peanuts.
Peanuts.
Those are when those would come up in conversation in Spanish class, where you'd be doing like a skit or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was pretty often I would try and squeeze in that I needed some peanuts or that my shoes weren't fitting right.
Certainly when I was learning Italian, aranciata for orange juice. Ooh. I was like, oh, that's fun. That's a fun one to say.
Oh, that is nice.
You know, something else that I think about you most of the times that I do these lessons.
Oh, because thanks, man.
Well, let me explain why. It's not a bad. Oh. I'm not just like idly thinking about you. It's
what are
specific.
Songs doing?
There's a short film that you and Justin Vire did for our old website Cracked years ago, where it's you and I believe in the narrative of the sketch, the woman is your maid, or the maid
at hotel.
You met her at a hotel. And you don't speak her language very well. She doesn't speak. She does the entire scene in Spanish, and you were talking to her, and you think you've made a suicide pact with this woman that you've bonded with, and you're both going to jump off this bridge together.
Yeah, because our families couldn't possibly ever adhere to our love, and
right.
But I foresee this as a romantic relationship that she does not understand.
Yes, and it's a very very funny short. We'll have Bacon link it in the show notes, and there's. One thing that, so part of the narrative is you project onto her a sad, broken life that she doesn't actually have. You assume she comes from this broken home, I believe, because one of the things, you mentioned that she doesn't have a father.
Yeah.
And she says, tengo un papá. And you go, you have a dad? And because I watched the sketch so many times, both as a fan of it and also in my capacity as an employee of the website who had to like rewatch our videos over and over again for quality control reasons, tengo un papá, you have a dad, very great basic Spanish for me. So like as soon as we got to learning have and the different ways to conjugate that, I was like, I fucking got this, guys. Don't worry. I need to pause this and take a second when it comes to want and eat, but tengo un papá.
That's right. Yeah. I had forgotten about that. That was actually the first sketch where I realized that I was gray. We were shooting it and they were doing stills on set. And then Justin was like, I'll send you the stills. And he sent them to me. And I was like, I called him and I was like, these shots me from behind. Is that just the light? What's going on there? He's like, did you not know that you have gray hair? And I was like, no, I had no idea. And that was, I mean, I was like 28.
Yeah.
And I just started graying.
I started noticing gray hairs. It seemed, I'm sure it's not true, but it seems like it happened on my 36th birthday. that I'm looking in the mirror and seeing gray hairs for the first time. They happened overnight. And I'm generally okay with aging and the forward march of time. But I was mad. Not strictly at the idea of gray, but I was like, no, my thing is, I'm going bald. That's my path. You don't get both. I'm not going to be graying and bald. I'm going to be a bald guy, and that's okay.
Yeah, you don't get both.
Yeah.
These fingerprints of death. Fuck? There's too many. I really thought I would never be able to grow a beard. And I'm at the point now, Dan. I don't know if I've told you this. I could grow a beard now. I have enough facial hair. Yeah.
The
gaps have all grown in. I can't grow a beard because my beard would be entirely gray. So the ship sailed, and like finally I'm there at the dock waiting to get on, and it's not even feasible for an entirely different reason now.
Do you think so? I just want to see it, I guess.
Yeah,
because a gray beard doesn't necessarily need to be bad.
No, if it was uniform and it was like a white or all kind of a solid gray, I think I could do it. But it has that. First of all, growing a beard, the first month of growing a beard, it will not be a very attractive beard. It'll be like stringy and weird and a little patchy before it fills in. Now imagine that, but there's like some of the hairs are kind of curly and white, and then other ones are just kind of a gray, and some of them are still a little dark, and maybe some of them are blonde, but you can't tell the difference between that and the white. And so like, it's going to be such a weird, awful, even when I haven't shaved for a week, I'm like, oh Jesus, I look about 10 years older.
Yeah. So I remember being in my mid or late 20s, I guess mid 20s, where two things were on my radar simultaneously. One, I'd been shaving my head for so long and wanted to grow my hair out again. And that's a very hard thing to do because there are so many terrible in-between stages from shaved head to whatever your next hairstyle is. It just looks, it has to look bad by design for a very long time.
There are a lot of mini bosses you have to beat along the way.
Yes. Yeah. So there was that. And also, as someone who wanted to grow facial hair for a long time, I was like, I think I can do it. I think if I really put my head down and keep at it, I can do it, because it was just like patchy and stubbly for a while. And if I just really went for it, I could at least see what I could pull off. And like, no bullshit, timed it out for a window when I was at work, but knew I was taking 2 weeks off from work to just work on my book, How to Fight Presidents, where I was like, I need to just like lock myself in my apartment and work on this book. I can't have any distractions because I just need to get it done. And that was true. But I was also like, okay, so maybe like a week and a half or 2 weeks before that, I'm going to stop shaving and I'm going to stop cutting my hair. And then like, let the worst of it be contained within this 2 week period where no one's allowed to see me. And it was like perfect circumstances, just like completely isolated myself to get through the worst of it and the awkward stage, and then be like, aha. I mean, the other side of this tunnel is pretty bad too, but we're out of the tunnel.
You came out of that, but that's how you should look at the end of writing a book. That's how everyone expects you to look at the end of writing a book, is like, and I have a beard now. And everyone's like, yeah, no, that makes sense, because you were on a boat for all that time.
Yeah, sure. That's what Hemingway alone. Did. Yeah, of course.
So I think that was smart. If I would have known, it would have been nice to have somebody tell you before COVID, this is how long COVID's going to be, so that you can be like, great, I'm going to try some shit on my body now.
Absolutely.
That I wouldn't ordinarily try.
I would have fully not gotten a haircut. It's like, let's see where it goes. I know when I was younger, my hair was curly and I would have like a big afro for a number of years. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm working with up there anymore. Let's see. Let's see what happens when I just cede control.
Yeah, I would have liked to have not shaven. I would like to have tried to grow in some creative facial hair, something new that like maybe no one's seen before. And I might have even like,
what?
You know, like if I could do something that was very District 1, in the Mockingbird movie.
Sure. Yeah. District 1, the capital from Hunger Games.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's some like twirly stuff. I want to just see what I was capable of. And then I would have also really liked to have seen what would happen, both grow my hair out all the way and then also shave it completely and see which of those things I liked. Because you don't know what your head's going to be like underneath there until you do it.
Yeah.
My daughter, I don't think will ever be able to shave her head because she's got a little bit of flatness in the back. On the back of her head. Because, you know, you can't put your baby down on their stomach when they sleep. And so they spend so much time on their back that generally it kind of gets a little flat back there and then it rounds out on its own. You have the option occasionally to like get a helmet. And then our pediatrician was like, honestly, her hair will cover it easily. I wouldn't do it. And so we didn't. And so you don't notice it when you just look at her. But if I put my hand on her head, I'm like, ah, there it is.
Yeah.
There's your one flaw.
And that's going to be a conversation you have if she ever does want to shave her head. You're like, listen, we've kept this for you as long as we could. Your head's totally fucked up in the back. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We fucked you up as a baby. I'm so sorry. Your head's shaped like a flat tire.
We could have fixed this if we put you in a helmet, but you wouldn't. Come on. Our daughter's not a loser.
That was a lot of work. That's right. Yeah. We couldn't take you out in public then. And think of all the social dynamics you developed because we took you out so young. I'm never doing that, never growing a beard. It's just one of those things I will live with. And you know what? At some point, they're going to go out of style. And everyone's going to come back to old Bowie shorn face.
I don't know that I'll ever be old Bowie shorn face. I've been not having a beard for a while and have just been, but I haven't been doing like clean shaven. And I don't know if I'll ever do that again. I just buzz it on a low setting to get that careless stubble that takes people an afternoon, but takes me 3 days and a lot of careful work.
Yes.
I've been affecting that casual look.
That's a good one. Especially when it's just a little bit shorter than your hair.
Yeah.
Like when your hair on your face is all kind of uniform, like almost the same length all the way around. It's a really good look. For guys.
Yeah. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. Hawthorne uses data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect products for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. Folks, I realized recently that my entire bathroom world is Hawthorne. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, face wash, soap, cologne, all of it is from Hawthorne, and I'm not going back. You can't make me. I also have a bunch of Hawthorne colognes. This is a Hawthorne household. I even got my brother to switch over to Hawthorne for their shampoo, and he loves it. You can take a short, study-backed quiz and get matched with your perfect grooming kit today. I took their quiz. And they asked me some questions, and I answered them honestly, because I answer all questions honestly. They asked me what was more important to me in a deodorant, and I told them, I sweat too much, and it's a problem, and I need them to fix it. And they did with Hawthorne deodorant. The quiz was easy and quick, and it was fun. It's not every day that you really look inward and investigate what you want in a shampoo or a deodorant or a body wash, and I learned a little bit about myself in this quiz. Hawthorne's grooming products are my answer to look good, feel good, and smell good. So make sure you're ready for anything or anyone that comes your way by taking Hawthorne's quiz today. Go to hawthorne.co, and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co, promo code QQ. Hawthorne.co, promo code QQ.
Well, dude, do you want to get into the show?
I do. Yeah. I have a question that's vaguely related to what we've been talking about.
Great.
Insofar as it's about health and wellness in the future and the passage of time. But if you want to go first, you can.
No. You got a segue. Do it.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
Is there, and I don't exactly know how to put this, a difficult but good thing that you know is in your future, but you're still putting off anyway? Like, you know, it's inevitable. I bring this up because comedian podcaster Billy Wayne Davis, very funny person, has been doing, he's cut processed sugar out of his diet, and he's been documenting it on Twitter. And he had a post a while ago where he was talking about like day 15, no sugar. My energy is up. I'm sleeping better. This is the same as it was when I cut out alcohol. I can tell that this is a better way to live. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. Yeah. It's 'cause better sleep and more natural energy. Those are my tickets. That's what I'm looking for all the time. And I've made a lot of other health changes in the last year or two towards that end. And I'm always looking for new stupid health things to obsess over, and cutting out processed sugar is an attractive challenge that I know I'm just gonna fucking hate, but I also know how my brain works, and I heard the right combination of words and I'm like, yeah, that's probably next. That's probably the next thing after having cut out bread. Processed sugar is another thing that can go to lead me towards this healthy lifestyle that I'm clearly heading towards. I just don't want to.
Did you already cut out bread?
Yeah.
Oh, Dan.
Well, it's, I'm not like super religious about it or anything. I just had like a window of weight in mind, like ideal body weight that I was aiming for that I couldn't reach with the normal stuff that I'd been doing in terms of exercise and diet. And I just like couldn't like cross the plateau that I'd hit at a certain point. And the experts are pretty much in agreement for the kind of loss that I'm talking about. The easiest way is to pick one thing that is in your regular rotation of your diet that you can lose and get rid of it. Whether that's like, all right, I'm going to cut out soda, or I'm going to cut out French fries, you know, some specific thing that you definitely eat a lot. And bread was the clear winner for me, because if one thing I should cut out is pasta. I eat so much fucking pasta, but I'm never going to stop eating pasta.
Okay.
Until I'm dead in a fucking ditch. But I was looking at like, what's something that is part of my regular diet that I think I can lift out, and it's not going to be coffee. So it was bread, because I'm not eating like, we've talked about this before, I don't eat burgers most nights because it's weird to make burgers for one person. But I settled into a pretty good routine of having a breakfast sandwich every day, just mm-hmm. sausage or bacon and a dairy-free cheese on a bagel I would make every morning. And I loved it. I was like, okay, well, that's a big one right there. If you get rid of a bagel, your daily bagel, let's see if that has some kind of impact after a few months. So I have cut out bread with a few exceptions.
So bread, I assume it would be true of you too. It's so disruptive because bread is in every single meal I eat. Some form of bread is in every single meal I eat.
It was only breakfast for me.
That's so surprising. I guess I love sandwiches an awful lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, sandwich meat is its own enemy, but I don't know. I think that I don't think I could do something as big as bread, because it's a staple for me. I think that the thing that I always think about is fast food. Fast food is such an important part of my life, and I love it, and I look forward to it, and I use it as a treat to do other things that I hate. And I know at some point it's just not tenable for me to eat this much fast food, and I'm going to have to cut it out. And I hate thinking about that day.
I know. It's processed sugar for me, and I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen soon. And I also feel like if I went to a doctor or a dietitian, and you know, the way you go to a financial advisor and you just show them everything, if I like showed them a journal of what I eat, the doctor would be like, "Why the fuck are you eating so many gummy bears? Cut that out." I was like, "Listen, doc, no. I cut out bread. That's the sacrifice. The gummy bears are staying. Your body wants the gummy bears."
When I've cut out things in the past, I found that the only way to do it was to treat it to like convince myself to do it, was I would say, "I'm not cutting it out forever, but for the month of November, I'm not doing soda."
Yeah.
And then you get to the end of that month and you're like, "Well, I worked so hard that month. I should just not do it again." And then you can kind of like trick yourself into not doing it anymore. And then when you finally have it again a few months later, you're like, "This is too sweet. I don't like it." And then you've broken the spell. But It's very easy to fall back into if you have it even twice, or if you're like, well, it's like Thanksgiving. This is fun. Like I would like to drink something that I enjoy, which is a Dr. Pepper, and you do it. And then you're like, and now I'm back right back to where I was.
Yeah. I feel very lucky that I cut out soda years ago for no clear reason. I just stopped drinking soda and it's not been a part of my life ever since. And I'm thankful for that because I recognize that it would be a hard habit to break.
It's really rough.
But now I have no taste for it.
That's great. You're in a good position. Man, you've cut out all the good stuff. You're fine.
I know.
You don't smoke. Did you stop drinking too?
Yeah.
So you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't do cocaine anymore.
No.
Christmas. Yeah, but I mean, you were in LA.
Yeah.
You had to.
Yeah. They don't let you off the plane.
Your parents listen to this, right? Yeah. I should let them know that we're joking and Dan and I have never done coke in our lives.
I think they know that. I feel like it's
we're
pretty
both deeply scared of cocaine.
Yeah, I wear it on my sleeve that it's so terrifying to me. And it's like, not only would I never do it, I have had nightmares that someone forced me to do it. I'm so scared of it.
But you've already cut out a lot of things. I feel like you need something to look forward to with food. Food is
gummies.
Food and pasta, I guess.
But you know, pasta.
What about corn chips? Can you?
I make pasta like 3 or 4 times a week, honestly.
Okay.
It's too much, but I'm not going to stop. The gummies. I think I'm gonna back off gummies for a couple of reasons. We've talked about this on the show, how much I love gummies. It's the only candy I eat, and I eat a lot of it. Every single day I have gummies. I keep them in the refrigerator or the freezer, and they're great, and I have different kinds, and it's awesome. And it was like a fun, whimsical podcast episode that we did where I talked about gummies, and then a lot of people in real life reached out, and they were not happy about it. It was very upsetting
intervention over Twitter.
To people who love me. And then when I was out in LA and I saw you and Bacon for dinner, I mentioned getting gummy bears and it was clearly not fun at that table. Like you both very quietly were like, you're still doing that? Like there was concern in your voices. I was like, oh no, we don't, this isn't like one of those like you all have friends with bad qualities that you still tolerate. This isn't that for me.
I think it's fine that you eat gummy bears. I realized also there are certain red flags for when you know that you have an unhealthy relationship with food or a particular food that's like bordering on a food like anorexia and bulimia, a food
disorder.
Yeah. Disorder. They're like bordering on disorder, where if you are eating something and then hiding what you like, the wrappers and stuff for what you ate so that no one in your life knows you did it, that's a big red flag.
Okay. I'm pretty loud about gummies.
Then that's fine. That's why I think you're doing just fine.
Okay.
I think that you can,
but it's no good. I get gummy guts, you know, gummy guts. It's when you eat too many gummy bears. It's when you eat too many gummy bears, either before or after a long run.
What is all that pectin doing to your insides? I don't like, I'm trying to think of what the, like,
I'll tell you what it's doing, man. It's trying to find its way out pretty fast.
Gummy guts sounds so gross. of all the vices in the world, a guy who eats too many gummy bears is like, that's pretty low stakes. That's a good vice to have.
Yeah.
I feel like if you stay there, because what's going to happen is you're going to replace it with something.
Yeah.
If you take out gummy bears, there's going to be something else that will fill that void. That's like the treat void, which it can mean a lot of things. It doesn't just have to be food. They're like that treat, however you treat yourself to something that you think you don't necessarily need, but that is an indulgence. Like there's a lot of dangerous ones out there.
Right.
I didn't drink soda for a while when we'd be filming a lot. I didn't drink any soda because I didn't like the way that I would drop off after having caffeine or like all that sugar. And so then I just sort of stopped drinking soda. When we'd shoot a bunch of after hours or we'd be on like set for one of our shows that we would make, I just stopped drinking it. And then one day I'd mentioned that I liked Dr. Pepper, and our assistant AD was like, hey, I got some extra Dr. Pepper just for you. And I was like, you fucking enablers. Why would you do that? Why would you listen to me?
Thank you. Put it in my car.
That is the nicest thing I've ever heard. Please put it in a separate cooler so no one else drinks it.
I think about my relationship with fast food because yours, I know, is different. You have a real combative relationship with fast food. Yeah. Mine scares me for a different reason because I go throughout my life just thinking like, I could never eat fast food again. I don't want it. Like maybe on a road trip, I'll get it because it's easy if we're saving time. But like, I'll probably die never having fast food again. And then I will just find myself. It's like a blackout smash cut to a few nights later and just like four McDonald's burgers in front of me. And I'm like, how did this happen? It happens. Something in my brain will just flip and yeah. And Taco Bell will appear.
Yes. That's the fast food.
I'm just not in control.
It's like whatever they're putting in there in the food to make it achieve that bliss point, it keeps you. And I've done the same thing where I'm like, I'll get in my car at lunch. And one of the things I love most about lunch is that we break from work and I can go eat whatever I want because I own a car and I own a wallet. And that's so exciting to me that like LA is my oyster. I can go anywhere except to get oysters. I don't like those. But I'll get in the car and be like, well, I shouldn't have fast food because I just ate some yesterday or whatever the reasons are. Like,
that's the best reason.
I just shouldn't have fast food. And so like, I'll be thinking about, well, I could go to Whole Foods and I could get a salad. I could go here. I think they have something that's like a little bit lighter. And as I'm doing this thought process, my car is just going to Taco Bell. And like eventually I'm in the line and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm having Taco Bell. Like I wake up to the almost like yeah. my mind has tricked me into thinking about other things. Well, it distracted me while it took me to Taco Bell.
Right. You're at the order window. And at that point, it would be rude to leave.
It would be crazy. It would be crazy not to eat Taco Bell. I can smell it from there.
You don't want to insult your hosts.
And then I can convince myself of certain things of like the health benefits I'm getting from it. Cause I'll be like, well, I don't eat the meat here. I'm generally eating vegetarian when I go to Taco Bell.
Yeah. And it's
like, being vegetarian does not matter when you're ordering three bean and cheese burritos and a big Dr. Pepper there.
Yeah. I think a good rule of thumb for me to discover that a habit of mine is not healthy is how dangerous I become to rationalize and justify it. When I'm at the store looking at gummy bears or like at, not even looking at gummy bears. If I'm at Target deciding between a normal bag of gummy bears or like the larger bag of gummy bears that is supposed to last a family weeks. And my decision point is like, this will save me trips if I just get this one. And
money.
But like, in terms of like the violent anger that I get, I think it's very telling that a switch flips in my brain and I'm like, what am I doing all this running for? Why am I even going to the gym if not to have as many gummy bears as I want? I just become like this, like a king that needs to be slain at that point.
Yeah.
Where I go through every sacrifice I've ever made in my life. What was it all for if not to die in this pile of gummy bears?
You're suddenly the defense attorney in a trial that doesn't exist, like giving the defense of a lifetime in front of a jury that you imagined.
Pulling out a list of all the times that I didn't eat something sweet, all the candy that I didn't eat.
The way that I've also tricked myself into not eating what I really want to eat, which is fast food, is as I've like got the opportunity to do it, I'm like, I am going to feel the same or better if I eat something else at the end of it. It's like all I can focus on is the meal itself and how good it's going to taste. But I know that in my brain, after it's done, I've regretted fast food several times. And when I've eaten something else, I'm the same kind of full. Like my stomach doesn't change all of a sudden. It's like, no, that fast food really hit it. I can eat something that's way better for me, finish it, and at the end be like, oh, actually, I feel just as full. That was great. And I don't feel terrible. And it's like, I can guess, imagine myself at that point, the future me. I'm like, just take care of that guy. Like, he's going to be in the exact same position no matter what. just don't do it here. Don't eat this terrible shit beforehand.
Yeah.
But
I think the only trick I've stumbled upon that's been helpful to me is I've rewritten history and I've recontextualized lunch as not a fun thing. I've just decided my lunch every day is a salad now, unless I'm like, I don't know why I'm saying unless I don't go anywhere or do anything. Oh, I guess I broke all of my rules. I went to my brother and sister-in-law's over the weekend and we had, sandwiches for lunch. So I had bread and I had a big lunch, but normally I don't go anywhere for lunch. I'm home and I make a salad and my brain just knows lunchtime is not one of the meals that we look forward to. It's a meal that does a lot of the work that we need because it's the time that I eat vegetables when I almost never eat vegetables anywhere else. And like breakfast is fun and dinner's where it's really at. And I know science is changing all the time, but I'm pretty sure the science is like, start big and get smaller with your meals. Big breakfast, medium lunch, small dinner. I'm never going to do that. I look forward to dinner all day. It's a highlight of my day, cooking it and eating it. And I think if I just have a miserable, quick salad that I eat in the kitchen, standing over a counter every day, I think that's fine. I think that justifies, it used to justify breakfast sandwiches. Now I would love suggestions for breakfast because now I just have like grits and a meat every day because I'm not having breakfast sandwiches. I have dairy-free cheeses. I can't eat eggs.
Are you allergic to eggs?
Yeah. I think so. I haven't talked to anyone because, again, doctors are really quick to blame the gummy bears on any problem you have. They refuse to even take that off the table, even as a hypothetical. They don't want to engage in it. It's like, bad negotiators. What if the gummy bears are medicinal? What else you got?
Yeah, they have a whole different service that you don't even understand.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, without eggs and without toast, bread, my breakfast options are pretty limited. So it's grits and a meat, or just like sometimes I'll just make these plant-based sausages that I like and just eat two discs of sausage in the morning. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. I love it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you putting ketchup on it?
No.
Okay. Well, you're talking to the wrong guy because I don't eat breakfast. That's why I look forward to lunch so much, is that by the time I eat lunch, I haven't eaten for like 14 hours. And that's also why how I've tricked myself into eating a lot of fast food and thinking it's okay. Cause I'm like, anything at this point would be good for me. My body would get something out of anything I put in it. You know what? I think that can be our show for today, Daniel.
Oh, wait, I have one more thing about aging since that was a loose theme of this episode.
Yeah.
It's something I'm laughing thinking about it. It's pretty, it really bumped me out at the time. I had a birthday recently and went out with my brothers and sisters-in-law to a restaurant. And we mentioned to the waiter that it was my birthday. And he said, oh, congratulations, you're turning 25, 26. And I said, yes, definitely. Like, you know, the like charming waiters will joke that they'll do an age that is comically younger than what you are to be like a good natured, sweet thing to do. And he left after making that fun gesture. And my sister-in-law was like, how does that feel? It's funny that you could be 26. It's a joke that you could be confused for 26. It's like, doesn't feel great. Doesn't feel great that like different adult age is a joke.
Yeah, that's something you age into, I guess.
Yeah. The assignment was, what is a comically young age for this person to look like? 25. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I had a sobering moment the other day when we were all sitting around in the house and I was like lounging on the couch with my son in a way where I was like, my head was all the way down. So it reached onto the back of the couch, which is very low. So I was slouched and that's not a very flattering look, but my son looked over at me and he goes, Dad, you got a big tummy. I was like, I do. Be honest. You mean that? Is it real? Yeah. Is it really, really big? Are you saying that because you actually think it? Or is that just like a funny thing because I don't like, I
wait, hold on. Hold on. Touch it now. Punch it. Pinch it. See if you try to pinch it.
Take this.
I wasn't ready before.
Take this phone. Hold on. Here's my passcode. I want you to take a picture. I want you to take 16 pictures. And I want you to, and then I want to see them from your perspective, what this looks like. And I was like, oh, that sucks.
Just waking him up in the middle of the night and be like, Hey Ronan, according to the CDC, my percentage of body fat, I'm in the lowest percentile. Okay. Yeah. So it might seem big to you because you're a child, but compared to the country, Ronan, wake up, wake up when daddy's talking.
Yeah. Like you have to see what I'm comparing myself to. That's the important thing. You're comparing yourself to me and that's not fair. That's not fair. Look how small you are. Yeah. So anyway, I spun out on that for a while. And then like, they're just these little like fingerprints of death that are all over me that I didn't used to have where I'm like, oh, I guess I get, sometimes I get gray chest hairs now too. That's great. That's new. Or I tried to do a kip up the other day. You remember those? Do you know what those, that is? That's where you can
like pull up until you're like, and then you mount the pull up bar.
No, a kip up is where you're lying on your back and you're like, I'd rather be standing, and then you just, yeah, you roll up onto your hands and then you kick your feet up in the air and then you pull your upper torso up and then you land on your feet.
Yeah.
And I used to be able to do those no problem. And my son and I were playing in the grass with a remote control car. And I was like, you know what? I could just get, I know how to do this. I used to do this all the time and went to go try a kip up, kicked my feet out and went horizontal in the air for about a foot off the ground and then came right down and knocked the wind out of myself. And he was like, what was that?
What were you trying to do?
I was like, I can't answer you because I feel like I'm dying. I need like 30 seconds of you not talking to me or I will get very upset.
I used to be able to do those and I don't think I will ever try to do one of those again because not only am I convinced I can't do it, I am certain I'll hurt something.
Yeah.
And like not even unexpected thing to get hurt. I'll hurt something very surprising. Like I work out with this AO app. It's from Men's Health. They have a lot of great workouts on it and I'll get it on my TV and I'll do it in my apartment just to the thing on the screen. And sometimes while we're doing a move, the pre-recorded trainer will be like, you might be feeling a little bit of tension in your hamstring here. And I'm like, what if it's like your entire back though? What if it's not my hamstring so much as it is my knees, neck, back, shoulders, face, and heart. What about those things? Yeah, and like, since we're naming wrong things, my hamstring too.
Well, I hope this resonates with somebody. I feel like our audience might skew a little young and they're like, what the fuck? There's just two old guys complaining about being old. I've heard this bit is so tired. All right. Well, you can follow Daniel on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question or ask them questions at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ@SorenandDaniel@gmail.com. Our sound engineer and editor and producer is Gabe Harder. You will not find him anywhere. Maybe on Instagram. That feels like a place he might be. I wouldn't know how to get there, though. He's Gabe Harder. And you can follow us on Patreon. I guess you'd not really follow us. You can get some extra content on Patreon if you're a Patreon subscriber at Patreon.com/QuickQuestion.
You on okay. Wordle yet?
No, I'm not doing Wordle.
Okay.
I don't even understand it. Bye.